At the performance of the Hallelujah Chorus, the Messiah wasn't done. The program wasn't done. The king stood because of that magnificent piece. The words are awesome. They have a timepiece here, and I have a timer. I'm known for my precise endings. It is a joy to be here at the Festival of Tabernacles. This is my 44th feast, I think. Mathematics is not high on my list, but I think it's my 44th. You would think I would learn everything by now. I would know everything by now. I'm still learning, just as you are. It's a delight. My wife is shaking her head. It's not my 44th. Oh, you don't know. Okay, good. In what time I have, I'm going to share with you a single point with an application for us today. If I go 35 minutes, great. If I don't, great. If I go longer, great. But it is a delight here. It's our first opportunity to be in Oceanside. We heard what a great place it is, and it has been enjoyable. Do you realize we're halfway through the Feast of Tabernacles? What have you learned? What have you done? What have you experienced? How great it is. For those of you who like titles, I'm not going to give you one yet. Not just yet. But I think you'll pick up on it pretty quickly. There is a phrase used in technical programs that clearly and effectively defines a diminishing mindset within a program. It's a negative phrase. It's not used to congratulate. It's not used to extol accomplishment. It's used when something goes really, really, really wrong. And we do what they call root cause analysis. We look at what went wrong. I live in the world of high tech, and we do a lot of root cause analysis. When you send something into space, they really frown on sending repairmen to space. I don't know why. So we have to do it right on the ground. We design it right on the ground. We design parameters. It has to be within safety parameters. It has to be just right before it goes forward. But the phrase is used when it is admitted that there is a cultural failure within the organization. The phrase is normalization of deviance. The phrase is normalization of deviance. This means an organization has become so accustomed to an error in their process and a deviant behavior, something, a bad practice, a mistake, that doesn't turn into a disaster, that in a sense they get away with it, there's no consequence, that they no longer consider such behavior as deviant, despite the fact that they're exceeding their own rules of safety. We see this in society. There's promiscuity, and there's every month, you know, sweat is off the brow, there's no pregnancy. There's no STDs. Well, we must be doing it right. We're violating the rules, but we didn't get caught. There's cheating on tests, there's stealing, there's theft, but they didn't get caught. So it must be okay. It must be normal to be this way, this self way. It must be normal, good, and right as a way of life. I didn't get caught. There's no consequence. Therefore, that deviant behavior, that which is wrong, it becomes normal. I want you to consider 1986, the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster. The phrase normalization of deviance became center to the analysis of what went wrong. Almost every meeting for root cause analysis went into what did we do wrong? We designed safety into every aspect of the shuttle, the boosters, the rockets. Everything is designed for safety. What went wrong? And they discovered the normalization of deviance. It's an O-ring. And it sits within pieces of the booster rockets that shoot that thing into space. And they found out that the O-ring at a certain temperature became hard. Not flexible, and it's supposed to be flexible, capturing exhaust gases inside the rocket. Well, they also found out that they had been launching 24 launches where the temperature was outside the safety margin, and they got away with it. And it became normal to fire the rockets when they were outside safety parameters. It became the normalization of deviance. It's a huge study. You can look it up on the internet. Look it up on Google. In one of the evaluations, a guy put a glass of water of the temperature of the launch of when the shuttle took off, dropped in a piece of that O-ring, and it became hard, and everyone was stunned because it was no longer an O-ring. It was just a piece of plastic that was useless. And we know what took place. Bad performance became normal. The phrase that they used, they deviated from expected performance and allowed it to continue. The shuttle was doomed to disaster. These trained and educated and capable men, knowing the safety parameters that were designed into the process, believed they were safe from disaster, having learned the lesson of living on the edge and getting away with it, getting away with substandard performance. And they did it for so long that the abnormal became normal. This same phrase describes the world we live in. It is descriptive of the mindset, the culture, the nature and training of society. We have reached the point of normalization of deviance, and our educational system teaches and perpetuates the acceptance of deviance. And we were warned. We were warned. Let's go to Isaiah 5, please. Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good. We live in a society that does that. They look at what is evil and they like it. They get away from consequences and they say, this is good. Look around society. They call evil good. But that's not enough for society. And good is evil. That which is good has become evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness? Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. This is where higher education comes. We've come to the point where we look at what is wrong and say it's right. Look at what is right and say it's wrong. And in our own intellectual wisdom, we smile at ourselves and said, we've got it right. And we've moved from God-centered to man-centered thinking. Society has moved from the Garden of Eden, that paradise, that utopia, where peace was the norm, where the original educational system was intent on teaching the knowledge of God, peace, to where we have moved away from God into self-discovery, self-assessment, to where we decide for ourselves what is good and evil, and we moved into an educational system that guarantees destruction. We have normalized deviation. We have normalized deviance. And just like the space shuttle, society will crash. Now, there are many lessons society has learned through that self-discovery and personal assessment, all point toward a normalization of deviance, all pointing toward a self-destruction. And there is one lesson I want to share with you here at the Feast of Tabernacles, one point that these days point to. Society has learned well, so very well, one lesson, and it teaches and it applies very well, all too well. It is the art of war. Society has learned the art of war, and it applies it so very well. The world initially was founded on peace. You look at the Garden of Eden. God did not create a garden, put man into it, and say, fight it out. I give you the garden. There is no conflict. There is no competition. There's no argument. Enjoy the peace that I'm giving you. Mankind began in the garden. There's no trial, no turmoil, no conflict, no combat. Man was at peace. And man was to learn the way of peace. And man was to teach the way of peace. Mankind was to be at peace. But enter Satan, small s. If you know me, I always do that. I will not capitalize that word. Satan, small s, the deceiver, the liar, the father of lies, that murderer, entered the garden and into that peaceful world. And instead, man learned war and conflict, just as Satan, small s, tried to take over God's kingdom. And there was war in heaven. Man learned war. Man learned combat. Man learned conflict. Learned the way of self from that other source. At one time, there were two ancient texts available to the world. Actually, both are available right now. You can go to Amazon.com, you can go to Google, you can go to your bookstore. They're both there. One dates back millennia and shows the way of peace. Every one of you has one in your lap right now. And the other dates back to the 6th century BC and shows the way of war. Shows how to wage war. The first is the Bible, authored by God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The other is The Art of War by Sun Tzu. From the human mind of Sun Tzu. In our educational system, the art of war is taught. In our business schools, it is taught. In our military schools, the art of war is taught. But go back to Isaiah 5. What is good is now evil. Don't try and bring up the Bible. They'll throw you out of class. Right now, the art of war is used everywhere. I have a copy. I was interested in knowing what it said. And people do use this book. It really does have neat things about competition and how to win and how to gain advantage. It does teach you the art of war. Mankind has embraced war as a normal way of life. It is now a necessity. This is the way the world is today. Count Helmut von Moltke, he is a Prussian general in 1880, wrote, "Eternal peace is a dream, not even a beautiful one." He went on to say, "War is part of God's world order." Did he read this book? It's not in there. He said, Within it unfold the noblest virtues of man, courage and renunciation, loyalty to duty, readiness for sacrifice at the hazard of one's life. Without war, the world would sink into a swamp of materialism. Wow. War normalizes society. War advances society. Well, think, maybe that's true. Think of the advancement in aviation. How much we have advanced because of the wars. We have to kill better. We have to fly better. We have to drop bombs better. So we advance society through war. Karl von Clausewitz defined war as a continuation of politics by other means. Wow. Negotiation meeting of the mind isn't good enough. War is a continuation of politics by other means. A simplified definition written after his experience fighting Napoleon. A Roman maxim. Do you want peace? Prepare for war. A Latin proverb. Peace is produced by war. A Russian proverb. Eternal peace lasts only until the next war. There's a statue in Washington, D.C. of Civil War General Sherman. I think he fought for the South. Not sure. Sherman's marched through Atlanta. Yeah. No, he was Northern. I don't. He was a Civil War dude. At the bottom of it says, the legitimate object of war, the legitimate object of war is more peace. Or is more perfect peace. And according to Henry Maine in his Early History of Institutions from 1875, he says, war appears as old as mankind, but peace is a modern invention. Peace began at the Garden of Eden, at the beginning of humankind. And they look on it as modern invention because war is a normal thing. To summarize, war is normal. War is necessary. The art of war must be taught. War supports a normal society. Let's read God's view. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verse 8. Isaiah 59, verse 8. This is the state of modern man. It says, the way of peace they have not known. They don't know it because they haven't been taught. They have only been taught war. They have only been taught conflict. They've only been taught anger and frustration and violence as a means to an end. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made for themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Crooked paths. Great armies bring about peace. You want peace? Prepare for war. Give me bigger swords. Give me bigger guns. The world right now has the ability, as we heard from Mr. Kubik, the ability to destroy this entire planet so many times over. Right now, the United States arsenal has more than 9,000 nuclear devices. The former Soviet Union, and I don't know where all these went, they had 10,000. But don't leave out all the hundreds of, that exist in other countries. And now we face the threat of terrorists using these devices as well. The controls are gone. The world knows a lot about war. Essentially, let's make war to have peace. That is the normalization of deviation. The Norwegian Academy of Science and the World Organization for the Protection of Humanity have provided a few statistics. I'm going to throw some at you. In the last 5,600 years of written history, man has fought 14,531 wars. That's not including the last decade. War continues today. An estimate of only 292 years of peace on the planet in all the time of written history. That's 94% this planet has been at war. The estimate is that 3.4 billion people have died due to the carnage of war. 3.4 billion people. That's an average of 700,000 people dying every year. 70 million died within the last century. 70 million per century. In our century alone, the estimate is 150 million people have died in war. See, World War I wasn't the world war to end all wars. World War II didn't solve anything. Half the population of the United States has died within, by number, in the last century. This century alone has recorded 207 declared wars. Mankind was created in paradise, an environment of peace. Peace was normal. Today, man lives by, teaches, and applies war. That is normal to them. This is the normalization of deviance. That's the state of things as they are. Hey, what will things be tomorrow? Why are we here? What are the things we're celebrating today that we look forward to? That's a better message. What I just gave you can be so depressing, so down. Let's take a look at what God says is going to happen without question. There is a fundamental change to our educational system coming to this world, and it is exciting. The news is sensational. It is wonderful, and it's all-encompassing. Let's rehearse some of the foundational scriptures covering these days that we celebrate. We're only halfway through, and how wonderful this time has been. How wonderful it is that what we share with one another here and with everyone out there, as Mr. Taylor said. Let's go to Matthew 24, please. I'm going to bounce you all over the book. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Verse 13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. That's an exciting thing right now. This world will not be saved. The world is on the road to destruction. And there's nothing here today. There's no one. There is no organization. There's no political party that can stop it. Except, and this gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end comes. The gospel of the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom coming that will replace the governments of this world, and it will be based on peace. Remember, Isaiah says the Prince of Peace is coming. That's his title. That's one of his wonderful titles, the Prince of Peace. And with him, he is bringing his laws and his peace. That is wonderful news. Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2, verse 1. The word of Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and basically the world around us. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. It's one of our hymns. We've already sung. To the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. We're not going to learn war. We're not going to learn conflict. We're going to learn peace, the way of peace, the right way to walk and talk and think. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. This image, this iconic image, is outside the UN today. Huge, strong man beating a sword into a plow. Of course, right now the UN is the biggest warmonger on the planet. Everybody wants their way. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword any against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. There's your title. They will learn war no more. How exciting that is. How exciting that is. The Lord will teach us. He will teach us his ways and we will walk in his paths. The Lord is going to teach us again, because you go back to the Garden of Eden, his ways. We will walk, we will act, we will speak. We will do those things that God wants us to do that lead to a true, lasting, foundational, real, touchable peace. A peace that we don't find in society today. The key phrase is that neither shall they learn war anymore. The fundamental change in world education is that they will learn peace. There's going to be a freedom from war. We're going to have Jesus Christ come back and teach us his way. The world will learn the way of peace and no more learn the way of war. How exciting that can be. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. Let's take a look at the environment. Let's look at the changes that are going to take place to the environment, the changes that are going to take place to humanity as well. This is part of the symbol of many organizations around the world, of the lion and the lamb. The wolf, verse 6, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Right now, if they dwelt together, one would be lunch. You could just see that happening. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. an idyllic paradise view of the world. The character of animals is going to change. And then the physical characterizations are going to change as well. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. Well, that's a change of a whole character and the physical being of the animal. The nursing child shall play on the cobra's hold, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. No more is the way of war going to be taught. The way of God is going to be taught. The way of peace is going to be taught. An idyllic situation is going to be presented for mankind. The elements of the environment will change. The character and physical attributes of the animals will change. There's not going to be any destruction. Why? Because the world is going to be filled with the knowledge of God. Filled with the knowledge of God. This re-education of the world will reveal God, will reveal Jesus Christ, and will reveal the true way of peace. Right now, the world wants peace. They really do. But they have a crooked path to get there. The re-education of the world will not include how to wage war. Sun Tzu's Art of War, that's going to be shelved as an archaic book, only as a footnote in history. War and anger and hostility and animosity and conflict come from Satan, small s. He will no longer be there. Remember, the Day of Atonement, Satan is removed. The author of war is removed. The author of lies is removed. The author of murder is removed. And the way of peace will be revealed. The re-education of the world will no longer include the art of war, no longer include strategies of war, no longer include doctrines of war, processes of war, self over others, conflict, my way or no way. All that's going to go away. The art of war will be shelved, never to be opened again. That will be such a wonderful time. Peace on every corner, peace in every city, in every hamlet, in every nation around the world. True peace, a lasting peace, the peace that we're experiencing in this room right now. How exciting is that? So how do we make use of this wonderful news? We're here at the feast, and we're still surrounded by wars and rumors of wars. I was watching the news last night. This is not a safe place. Except for God's intervention and his protection and his angels around us, this is not a safe place. What do we do? I'm going to tell you. Remember, point two. No more war. What do we do? Philippians 1, please. Philippians 1. Started a discussion at dinner last night about this. Because this really is the essence of why we're here. See, we're not here on a vacation. We're not here to enjoy our own self. We're here also to grow and to share the peace that God has given to us. Philippians 1, verse 27. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And see you or now, whether I come to and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let your conduct, let your actions, let your words be worthy of the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? Good news of the kingdom that's coming. A world of peace. None of us should exemplify the world of war. We should exemplify true peace in what we do, in what we say. Our assignment now today is to show the coming kingdom in action. We are to live the gospel. We are to live according to the gospel of the kingdom of God, to do and to be what is expected of that kingdom today. We are to show the normalization of what is right, not what the world thinks is right. We're to set the example of the kingdom of God and that peace that is coming, to live a life without war, without conflict, without violence, without argument, and to live the example and to teach this way. No more will the world learn war, and we're not to provide that for the world. We're to teach peace. Whether we're teaching our families, teach our children, teach our employers, teach our employees, teach those people we're associated with, our neighbors, people at the restaurants, people here at the hall, we're to demonstrate the kingdom of God here on earth. And that is a coming kingdom of peace. Coming kingdom of peace. Ephesians 4, please. Oh, one page over. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. When we began this journey, it was to be a different, we were to be a different person, a different being. I guarantee you, those who knew me in high school have no clue as to who I am today. I won't go into details. And I think all of us pretty much feel the same way about ourselves. Who we were then, we're different today because God in us makes us different, because we want to be different. With all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. This is a different being. This is one who has learned peace, the one who teaches peace, the one who has an example of peace in their life, to their children, to their family, to their neighbors, to everyone around them. Our understanding of the coming kingdom requires us to be a different person, requires us to change. There is something we do. There is something that we must do. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. And this goes throughout all our lives. Come on, Deuteronomy was here this morning. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. We're crossing over into the kingdom that's coming. The kingdom of God is coming. The solution to the world's teaching and learning of war, the answer is coming. The peacemaker is coming. Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, and you and your sons and your grandsons and all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. A land flowing with milk and honey. The kingdom of God is that. It's filled with peace. It's filled with opportunity. It's filled with growth. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is a change of who we are. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Verse 7, we've come to, what do we do today? The key is the kingdom of God is going to be of peace. The world will learn war no more. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when it's filled with friends, when it's filled with neighbors. You shall You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. It's going to be a way of life. No more do we look to how to wage war. No longer do we look how to get an advantage over another. No longer do we look to how to put someone down, but we look to peace, the peace that is coming in the kingdom. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It's going to be a complete, total way of life. Our understanding of the coming kingdom of God requires us to modify our behavior to match that kingdom. When someone sees you, they're going to say, that's what the kingdom is about. That's what I need to learn in my life. I need to be like that person. Our understanding of the kingdom of God requires us to be an example of the kingdom. Ambassadors. An ambassador of a nation shows the character of that nation. You are an ambassador of Christ. We sang that yesterday. We're all ambassadors for the coming kingdom. Our understanding of the kingdom of God requires us to teach our children, teach our neighbors, teach the world around us through example, through word, through deed, that there is a peace that is coming. Whether we're here at the feast or whether we're at home, we are to be an example of the peace of God, to be ambassadors of the peace of the Prince of Peace. That is our job. And we teach by word and deed. No more is this world going to learn war. No more is it going to learn how to take and conquest my way or no way. I want peace my way. That's not going to happen. We're going to see the coming Jesus Christ, the Christ who is going to take over this world and bring a true, lasting peace. He is the Prince of Peace. No more will this world learn war anymore. That is an exciting, wonderful event to celebrate here at the Feast of Tabernacles. Have a great day.